Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
It's Wednesday. That means it's NASCAR Day. Chris Graham joined by Rod Mullins here on the podcast. And we're going to talk, the Richmond race first. We'll get ready for Bristol here coming up later in the show. But Rod, first off, the Richmond race, getting ready. We're halfway through the first round of the playoffs. And good night, if you want to say, for the folks in JGR Racing. A 1-2-3 finish for Truex, Hamlin, Bell. Could have been 1-2-3-4 if not for Kyle Busch's late speeding penalty. Take us into that race and how well JGR is racing right now.
Poor Kyle. He can't catch a break, can he? I mean, he gets a speeding penalty on pit road. Yeah, this is the resurgence of Joe Gibbs Racing, and it always seems like this team comes together at playoff time and makes a surge, and they're definitely doing that. I think if we go back about 2 years, maybe three, somewhere in that neighborhood, when they first had the Roval race down at Charlotte, that's when we saw a resurgent team more than anything else in Martin Truex Jr. when he was in contention to win that race, the first Roval race, and ended up Ryan Blaney won that race. So, you know, it's one of those things of where the Gibbs cars suddenly just get it together at the time they kind of slide into the playoffs, so to speak, in one way, but they're all coming together at a good time. And, you know, for Hamlin comes off of a win fresh of last week, you know, with this one. Then Martin Truex comes up with the win this week. It kind of remains to be seen what will happen at Bristol. I mean, Denny Hamlin pretty much dominated that race at Richmond. There was no doubt about it, but Martin Truex came up the winner. And, you know, Denny Hamlin really didn't have anything to worry about. He's already into the cutoff point, or in for the playoffs for the 12 spots. And so Martin Truex just solidified his position in there as well. So here we go. We're getting down to the stretch, and Bristol's coming up, and it's hard to predict what will happen at Bristol. That's for sure.
Hey, I thought I'd throw something out at you here. I was reading, getting ready for this podcast, read a story on The Athletic about the last three races at Richmond. We've not had a single driver incident in terms of any kind of a multi-car incident, you know, two guys bumping into each other, that kind of thing. 1,200 straight laps at a short track. The last six races, only 10 total cautions for incidents of, you know, involving a couple drivers or more. And the implication from the writer was, we're just not seeing a lot of close racing at Richmond. It's a short track, technically, 0.75 miles. But it's not racing like one. Any thoughts on that?
I kind of disagree with that. I think you see the best of the short track racers come out in these drivers, especially when they get to a Richmond, because Richmond's a track that they all seem to enjoy. They enjoy being under the lights. You know, you did have a couple of incidents the other night, one car incident. Now I'm thinking of Kurt Busch that kind of cost him a chance there at the end of being there in the at least in the top 10, or at least being in the race. Chase Elliott had bad luck too. He had a penalty. But, you know, these little incidents there, that's kind of, I think, expected in a way. It's clean racing at Richmond. It's wide. You really don't have that much of a difference, I think, of the big wide setup as opposed to what you do at Bristol. When you go to Bristol, it's a little more narrow, especially in the turns. Martinsville is going to be the same thing. It's going to be narrow. It widens out a little bit in the turns as they come down through there and flattens out. And then everybody is on for, you know, trying to get down the front or the back stretch to gain position before they go into that. So I kind of understand where he's coming from, maybe with that comment of maybe it's not so good a short track racing, but I think it is. I just think it kind of perfects the drivers as to what they're doing and what they're trying to do on a short track. And besides, we're trying to go and generate more short track racing around. And, you know, with the recent announcement is what was, I guess, thrown at everybody yesterday. We're in for some more short track racing as we go on into 2022.
So we were talking about Joe Gibbs racing, the three in the top eight, four in the top 10. Hendrick, I mean, Kyle Larson's third, Chase Elliott seventh, but then two of the Hendrick team guys are right now on the outside looking in, or at least on the bubble. Alex Bowman is tied for 12th. I guess with Kurt Busch and William Byron's 15th. If the season, if we went through it right now, I guess those two guys would be left out. So we've talked about how Joe Gibbs Racing is doing so well at this stage. What's up with the Hendrick team?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what's wrong with the Hendrick team right now. Maybe it's working through this stretch of, you know, uncertainty of what they're doing with the car. And, you know, they've been penalized here a couple of times. Some of these cars, Larson has been put back to the back of the race sometimes. You know, those sort of things I don't think helps the morale of a team very much. When you go through an inspection and you think you've got everything right, for Kyle Larson, the driver, it's not too bad. He's able to, you know, get it there to the front. But it seems like Hendrick is making just more mistakes right here, or there's more mistakes that have been happening at least in the last stretch of, what, 5 or 10 races, I guess, probably in that neighborhood. I think there's been more mistakes made either by, you know, spotting. It could be from, you know, the spotter that's up there on top of the booth. It could be from the calls down in the pits. I know there's been some questions of Alan Gustafson making some calls that maybe didn't make a whole lot of sense when it came to Chase Elliott. And I'm thinking of that one of where he could have pitted and came in, got a little bit of gas, and then got back out. And then they waited until the last minute, and then he had no chance of possibly trying to contend for that race. So, you know, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's just thinking that maybe they were on top of the world at one point during the regular season. I mean, they did win the regular season championship with Kyle Larson. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Maybe it's just a bad stretch right now. But, you know, maybe they're looking at their two drivers right now that they have the most confidence in, and that's Elliott and also with Larson making it to the next round. But, you know, I don't throw Alex Bowman out of this, and I don't throw William Byron out, because they both race really well at Bristol. And anything can happen at Bristol this coming weekend. We could see those two back in contention, and, you know, they could be sealed up in those 12 points or those 12 slots right there that they have for the race going into the next round of the playoffs. It's anybody's ballgame right now. But for them, I think Alex Bowman and William Byron both, they've got their backs to the wall. They've got to do something, and they have to do it this weekend at Bristol, and it's going to make them or break them.
Has there ever been a lonelier playoff participant in NASCAR history than Michael McDowell? He's 16th. Technically he's 38 points back. I guess theoretically he could go out and win this race at Bristol this week, and he'd be in the next round. I look at the NASCAR website right now. I'm on NASCAR.com, and they list the odds for the guy to for the different drivers to win the championship. You go from Alex Bowman in 13th. He's plus 2,500. William Byron's also plus 2,500. Tyler Reddick's plus 6,000. Michael McDowell's plus 50,000. Nobody gives him a chance.
Oh my gosh.
He might as well not even be in the playoffs the way things seem to feel. I mean, he's the forgotten guy in this. It seems like an eternity ago that he won the Daytona 500 earlier this season. What the heck is up with that team? And how did they get, I mean, except for the fact he won Daytona, how did they get into playoffs?
You know, it was because of that win at Daytona, and then trying to linger at least enough toward the top 16 to where they could, you know, slide in there. But, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but the team that he races for, and I think it's Front Row Motorsports, that's who he's racing for, you know, they don't have the greatest of equipment. They don't have all these things that some of the other teams, but, you know, look, we could be saying the same thing about Roush Fenway Racing. I mean, you've got some of the guys there that's got some of the best equipment in the world, but yet can't convert and stay into the contention for the playoffs. And so I kind of feel for, you know, Michael McDowell a little bit. He's a nice guy. I know Bubba Wallace doesn't like him too well. I know they've had words before and kind of traded some things. You know, the All-Star race at Bristol last year, Bubba blamed him for costing him a chance at winning the All-Star race, when really Bubba never had a chance from the get-go with that race. But, you know, you kind of feel bad for him. This is one of the examples of the teams that are, and I say this as best as I can, these are the teams that are poorly funded. They have to fight and scratch for everything they can get their hands on. You know, these guys wonder sometimes if they're getting a paycheck week to week, not the driver as much as they're worried about whether the team is going to be able to have that. I read something just this past week of where Trackhouse Racing, Chip Ganassi, I think when they finally go out, I think it's going to be like 55 or 95, maybe it's 55 people are going to be out of work with the Chip Ganassi team once they go over into Trackhouse Racing. And so you're going to have 55 guys out of work, or people in the shop and everything out of work. And so you kind of start wondering about this, you know, is this going to be possible, or are these guys going to slip back in? It's all a part of this changing face of racing. that's out there. I mean, it's changing, it seems like, from week to week, and especially the closer we get to 2022 and the new next generation car.
So before we get back to Bristol and the final race of the first round of the playoffs, let's talk a couple off the track news notes. The 2022 schedule adds a couple of races. We talked about one of them last week as a possibility, but talk about the additions to the schedule.
Yeah, we were calling this last week, and we talked about this. The rumor was going wild, and some people thought that Bob Pockrass had lost his mind with this, but I considered it probably one of the best rumors that I had heard, and that is, lo and behold, the schedule has been released for NASCAR for 2022, and the big change is they're not going to have a NASCAR clash at Daytona like they've had in the past. They're going to, of all places, Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, the home of Super Bowl I when the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, the Olympic Games were held out there. Two Olympic Games, as a matter of fact, I think one in the 30s and then the other taking place in 1984. So you're looking at this and you're saying, are they serious? Are they really going to go and put a racetrack or at least put a racetrack in? And I kind of read something a little bit the other day that I thought, they're going to do it on the outside. They're not going to do it on the inside. No, they're going to do it on the inside. That's the way they're talking. They're going to have to make some changes, and they're going to be starting with it here pretty soon, since no teams are playing out there in the Coliseum except for USC. They're playing, of course, their college schedule, but the plans are being made that just as soon as college football season is over with, they're going to be taking everything and they're going to be putting down a quarter mile track is what it's going to be. It's going to be flat, no banking or anything like that. And that's how they're going to kick everything off. You've got a lot of NASCAR purists that are fuming over this whole thing. And I say that with a slur in my speech. They're fuming over this whole thing because throw down the moonshine, throw down the Busch beer and everything else. You have just ruined our sport is what a lot of people are saying on the message boards. But myself, I'm like, hey, give it a shot. Let's see what happens. You know, bring it to a market that even though they say they hate NASCAR, you're putting it right in the middle of Los Angeles. And it's going to be a big event, especially one of those lead-in events that you're hoping that may carry over and bring some people to the Super Bowl a week later, you know, out there in Los Angeles where they're going to play it in that new stadium.
It's a big market. It's the second biggest market in the U.S., and if they can get a foothold there, that's all they need. You don't need overwhelming support from that whole populace. There's about 15 million people that live around L.A., including the metro area and everything else. There's worse things than that. Also, St. Louis getting a race on the schedule, right?
Yeah. Pocono is actually losing a race from the way I understand the schedule, and then Worldwide Technology Raceway Park, or it used to be Gateway Park or Gateway Track or Gateway International out in St. Louis. They actually got naming rights or went to Worldwide Technology. They did some sponsorship on Richard Petty's car with Bubba Wallace for a couple of years. They took over naming rights of that facility, and now they're getting one. And hey, it's about time they got one in St. Louis. I'm sure that Rusty Wallace has been pushing for this for a long time because, you know, Missouri has some of the best racing, I think, of anybody. A lot of it is dirt track racing more than anything else. But here's the other kicker. I don't know if you saw this or not, Chris, but Bristol is going to be hosting another dirt race in the spring, and this one is going to be at night on Easter Sunday.
So we'll hope it's a dirt race and not a dirt and snow and ice race. That could happen, or a mud race, early in the season, right? Man, you know, the dirt race this year was so well received that that's great because we were, you know, I remember us talking about it going into it. Hey, we hope it works out. And then, of course, it went off great. The weather that time of year can be a challenge. But that might just add a fun element to it.
It might. And, you know, of course, this last race was right about the end of March, first part of April. They've actually moved it now to the middle part of April. And so that's going to help out a whole lot. That's going to help. That's what they tried to do here several years ago when they had snow and everything else at the Food City 500. They said, hey, let's try to move this thing a little bit closer to April when the weather is at least a little bit more stable. They did that and they started slowly moving it. Then they got flooding. I think that was the first actual year that I covered a race for Augusta Free Press. I was down there and it flooded. Of course, we had a race on Monday that next day. But, you know, I'm telling you, they've got the potential of having a great race there at Bristol there and for the dirt track coming up in April. If the weather will just hold out and will go in their favor, they could come away with a good crowd, I think.
So that's next April, but next this coming weekend, Saturday night, in your backyard down there in Bristol, we've got the last race before the first cutoff of our playoffs. We'll go from 16 to 12. Denny Hamlin has a lead at the top of the standings, Martin Truex, Kyle Larson. And then we mentioned the guys who are competing right now. And I talked about the guys on the other side of the cut line. But right now, I mean, I would say maybe if you're anywhere from Brad Keselowski at 9, Kyle Busch at 10, Eric Almirola at 11, Kurt Busch at 12, you got some work to do perhaps as well. You can't afford to have an off night, can't afford to have an early exit, fall a couple laps behind, have a speeding penalty or two on the coming out of pit road. So take us into Bristol and what we can expect this weekend.
There's going to be some beating and banging, I think, this weekend. And there's going to be a lot of fighting for position. And you summed it up just right there in that one whole statement of what you said more than anything, that this weekend, these drivers, that's especially in the front 12 right now, they can't afford to have a bad race. And that goes for Chase Elliott. That Kyle Larson, I think Kyle Larson's got a little bit of some protection there. I don't think he's going to be affected by this, but of course Chase Elliott has to be worried because, you know, he's not had a great year so far. He's won a couple of races, but he hasn't had a great year so far. And then you've got some of the other guys that's trying to fight to get back into the standings. And, you know, I really don't want to rule out Kurt Busch out of this. Kurt Busch has had some good success at Bristol before. He won a race there here recently there at Bristol. And so I think Kurt Busch is really going to have, I guess, have his eye on trying to get into that number 12 spot and that cutoff spot right there. It's going to be anybody's race, you know, and this is the thing that really shocks me. Of all the drivers that's in contention right now, there's only one driver that has not won at Bristol. And do you know who that driver is?
No.
Martin Truex Jr.
Interesting. Okay.
He would love to have a win at Bristol, and he has raced well at Bristol in the past, but he's had some bad luck at a couple of the last few races, and he's not been in contention. But, you know, I think that this Joe Gibbs team knows that, you know, their back's against the wall. They're trying to hold on to what kind of position they have, and the rest of the drivers for the other teams, Hendrick included, know that their backs are against the wall too. Everybody in that top 12, their backs are against the wall right now, and a bad night could just about, you know, do it for the entire season for all of them.
Bristol's a fun race no matter what the stakes are. This spring race, always fun. But with the playoff implications that there are for this race, should be a lot of banging, should be a lot of good racing come Saturday night. We look forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I'm hoping the weather is going to be – weather right now is looking – it's not so bad. It's going to kind of be comfortable. It's not going to be real hot. But right now they're maybe calling for a chance of some rain or something this weekend, but that's nothing that they couldn't take care of really quick at Bristol with the banked high banks and everything. They could probably take care of that really quick, and we could get back to some racing if we have a rain delay. But I'm hoping we don't have one. It's going to be nice. I've been looking forward to this race ever since that they put this one on the calendar again, right in the middle of the cutoff point. This is the one I've been looking for because we're going to see who some of the drivers are that, you know, are going to be made. They're going to be broken, or however it's going to be.
Should be a lot of fun. Well, Rod Mullins, thanks as always for your time today.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up to the minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.